Good morning. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, that's unanimous. I did find the right place this morning. Well, today we're going to be traveling on a journey. And I know all of you came here to find Jesus this morning. And the good news is, he's here. And so you have found him, and now he is seeking you. In the way of intimacy. Now, does anybody struggle with intimacy? What is intimacy? How close? There's different levels of intimacy. There's different levels of connection or attachment that we have. And Jesus' way of attachment and intimacy is beautiful. And it's lovely. And it's wonderful. And the good thing about the attachment in Jesus is, it's risk-free. Now, we struggle as humans with attachment, with intimacy, because we have trouble with trust. And we have difficulty with trust because we've been hurt by other people. We've been let down, we've been disappointed. And Jesus' way is risk-free. And that's the truth. Amen? And so today we travel in the truth of God's Word as He draws us by the power of Holy Spirit into Him even closer. And that's your gift for today. God's gift to you today. That you will know Him and love Him and entwine in Him even deeper than when you walked in here. And that's for you today, and it's forever. This is a message of encouragement. It's really not a message of correction or admonition or rebuke. The Word is given to us to encourage us. That's a very important part of why we have the Word. It's a great, big, huge love letter. So as you hear the words today, this is to make sure that you receive it as a love offering. And that you are encouraged through it. And that through this Word, you grow more intimate in Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing us in and preparing us for this time when we walked in this door today. Thank you for the love that lives here. Thank you for what you've already produced in this body of Christ. We thank you for the stillness that you're going to give us today, the nearness, the absolute trust in you, risk-free intimacy. And we know this is the truth, and so we strive for this intimacy that you want us to have more than anything. That we can find your joy here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we did already speak this morning about intimacy in the way of Psalm 91. And Gary brought up the solution to worry in terms of that we're to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all the rest will be added unto us. And so we seek Him first, and He says to us in Psalm 91, He who dwells, we read this morning responsibly, He who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. Now imagine yourself there now, because that's where you are. that you will know the truth, that right now you're dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. It's a place to be, where He calls us, where He encourages us. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And so God calls us this morning to rest, to a place of rest, knowing that it's going to be a message of love, encouragement. You can relax. You can receive this without any fear, with total trust, risk-free, as we listen to God. Now, as we get a sense of where we are in this intimacy in Jesus who lives in us, all of us who believe, we have Jesus Christ alive in us. Amen? And so as we gather today, this morning, you know, bringing in all the things we brought in, the worries, the fears, the joys, the expectations, the disappointments, as we gather today in this place, we find Jesus in Luke 22 and get a sense of intimacy. And the intimacy He is forming this morning, that He is producing. God does it. Amen? Yes, God's doing it. I'm glad, too, that somebody said that being in Christ is not about performance. God does it, and so He gets all the glory. Okay. So Luke 22... Now, we're at this place this morning where Jesus has just had the Last Supper with His disciples, and Judas had gone on to betray Him, and He was praying on the Mount of Olives beginning in verse 39, Luke 22, 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When He rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" He asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So Jesus knew at this point, and then He was arrested after He prayed. Jesus knew what was coming. And He had a passion for what He was about to do. And yet He didn't really want to take that cup. And we sang this morning about the glory and sacrifice. And He says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." So this morning you're hearing that God's will is for you to join in intimacy in Christ. Good news. You'll notice that the reason that the disciples weren't able to pray and they fell asleep is that they were so tired from sorrow. They were sad. They're exhausted with sorrow. You ever get exhausted with sorrow? Of course we do. Do you ever get exhausted from being afraid? Sad? Overwhelmed? And Jesus was so overwhelmed, he cried blood. So as we join this intimacy in this place, he prays, and we're asked to pray that we will not fall into temptation. And so our temptation here with intimacy is to be distracted and put to sleep by the amount of effort that it takes to experience sorrow. John 14. We have this wonderful gift whose name, and it's a he, is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells in us. The moment you believed in Jesus, Holy Spirit came and took up residence inside of you, deep down inside of you, in a place where he can never be detached. He is so attached and connected and intimate in you. So let's hear how Jesus plans this intimacy to work in Holy Spirit. And I call him Holy Spirit. I used to call him the Holy Spirit. I catch myself sometimes still call, but it's like me saying the Benjamin or the Denise or the Penny. That'd be kind of awkward. So I just call her Denise. So this wonderful gift we have that God has given us and that lives inside of us. And you can't separate God and Jesus and Holy Spirit. They're all one, right? Amen? And so by the power of Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to pave this way to intimacy, connection, attachment. So let's hear. Let's receive John 14, 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And looking at the end of verse 17, for he lives with you and will be intimacy. So as you're reading the Word, and as he's feeding you the Word, and as you're receiving this message, or even when you leave here today, whenever you hear the word in, that's good news. I will not, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Easter's coming, right? On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me. And I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obey them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And so in the deeper part, you're being shown today. You're receiving today. You came expecting, wanting, hoping. And you're receiving. He's revealing himself in you today. Then Judas said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." A message about a little bit about the deep. About the place where Jesus lives in you and me and us. The deep is a wonderful place. It's a quiet place. It's a still place. It's a place to dwell. And as we dwell in him, in this deep place, we recognize that we don't see this place. It's hard for us as humans, sort of trapped in a sighted world, to appreciate, fully experience this place in the deep where Jesus lives, because we don't see it. And there's a lot of what God's created in the unseen. You know, 2/3 of the earth is covered with water. And how many feet deep is that? There's a lot we don't see. 2/3 of the body, at least, is water. We don't see. I can't see my grandson yet. Like to. But it's not time. So in this place of the unseen where Jesus lives and is producing this righteous response to your seeking him, let's look at John 15. I love how Jesus used metaphor. Man, it makes it so much easier when you're dealing with the unseen. And faith is really not what you see, is it? And faith's a big part of where we live, right? So a lot of where we live is in the unseen. John 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain," verse 4, "remain in me, and I will remain in you." Call, the loving invitation is to remain in him. And he promises to remain in us. "No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain," there's that word again, "in the vine." Not on the vine, in the vine. Where the sustenance, where the life. And you know that blood that flows through that vine? You know what that, you know what you call that blood? Of course we call it the blood of Christ, right? That washes away our sins, that makes us justified, that prepares a place for us here on earth and in heaven, and lives and breathes and draws us closer into himself. And boy, that it's just such a river of love. A beautiful place. a beautiful sustenance feeding us. The river of life. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Of course, we know that. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, does it, you get it? I mean, is it coming? What does Jesus want? You hear him? He's real clear, isn't he? Holy Spirit's real clear. It's beautiful. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me... Okay, let's stop right there. So, as the Father has loved Jesus, you as Christians have a sense of what that is. You know how God loved His Son. Amen. The same way he loves you. That vine, that lifeblood. As the Father loved Jesus, he loves you. Now remain, there's that word again, in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in His love. I have told you this, brothers and sisters, girls and boys, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So this love that flows through the vine that gathers you into Him, and He says, yes, stay, remain in me. So this love that you have for Jesus and the love that He has for you, with that same love, we're called to love one another. And boy, isn't that a joy to walk in here today and be loved and be accepted, right? No rituals, no rules. Freedom in Christ to love and to be loved. The way of intimacy. Risk-free, relatively speaking. Now, we are people. Relatively speaking, we can love one another freely. Back to John 14. Attachment, nurture. Intimacy, the inmost, the fundamental, the essential, the clinging, the drawing near, the resting in the shadow of the Almighty, the dwelling under the wings of His angels. This life that we can't see, but we know is there. John 14. We're going back to John 14, where Jesus has just told us about Holy Spirit. And we're looking at verse 25. All this I've, Jesus says, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So we do have a challenge. Fear. And Jesus tells us not to be afraid. And he says, love me and obey my commands. And he says, do not be afraid and do not let your hearts be troubled. So it's more than a, you know, it'd be nice to be that way, isn't it? It's more like a command. Because he knows that we're going to struggle with trouble. That we're going to be afraid. Is it going to be health? Is it going to be money? Is it going to be the neighbor? Is it going to be work? Is it going to be trouble in the family? What is it that you're afraid of this morning? What is it that distracts you? That keeps you uncertain. And he says, please listen to this. This is something I really have a passion for. You know, we've already been introduced to his passion this morning when he prayed in the garden and he knew what was ahead of him. And this passion he has this morning for you to not be afraid and to not be troubled, because those are things that block you from intimacy. Certainly they do with people. And what he's saying is to trust him and to seek him, so that when the obstacle, when the distraction of fear comes in, and it will, he shows you the way. And it's to go in him. To travel. To move. Certainly we get distracted, right? I mean, but it's okay to just, you know, kind of get straight again. You know, no condemnation, Romans 8:1. There's now there no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You no condemned. We don't do condemn. If you find yourself distracted, okay, simply step back on the path and remain in him. And it's okay. And he had to make it a command, because he knew we'd have trouble with it. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Because we can trust Jesus. There's no risk to going into Jesus. He doesn't give the way the world gives. Hallelujah! So the antidote for fear, and of course we know fear is not of God, right? And we know that fear is the enemy to trust. Fear and trust don't fit in the same place too good. So as you move in Him, and it can be anywhere, in your car, listen, you know, turn on the music or your CD and praise God, or it can be in the shower. I guess every good sermon, you got to tell something about yourself, right? Well, I'm not into itching ears, but I do the Lord's Prayer in the shower. I admit it. As you are getting up in the morning with your cup of coffee, spend a lot of time with Him on the front porch or the back porch. Don't I, honey? With my coffee and God. As you're getting ready to go to sleep at night, invite Him to come into bed with you and to sleep with you. Invite Him into your dreams. I tell people, you know, and not myself too, sometimes you get in a tough situation, you know, you're at Thanksgiving dinner and your favorite relative acts up. That touched a nerve somewhere. Find a bathroom. You can lock doors on bathrooms and people won't bother you. And come in Jesus. And find that place of no risk, that place of freedom to engage in intimate connection and rest. Enough of the fear. In Jesus' name, amen.